You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday. We're halfway there. Once I'm done here, I'm halfway there.
Halfway to where?
End of the weekend. To the weekend. To end of the week.
What do you got scheduled?
For the weekend.
Are you going someplace?
No, I'm not. Basketball. There's basketball on Sunday. There's events to get to on Saturday. There's sleep. I need to sleep.
Are you going to try to get over and catch some of the game this evening?
I'm going to run right after. Get here. Get there about 10 minutes in.
Are they scheduled to play against on Sunday, did you say?
Yeah, they play Sunday night against Illinois.
Ah, good.
Should be a
good test.
Yeah, good test. We'll see. They're playing like the first 100 games at home first before they get a test on the road.
Well, good scheduling, coach.
Yeah, but the teams aren't very good. So they're not going to be that great of a test. I think Illinois might be the best test they'll have. Let's get to that in a second. Matt Moreno is going to call us at 6:15. He's at the arena right now.
Oh, he should have some good insight for us.
Maybe you might get a starting lineup and stuff by that. I think it's probably too early for starting lineup. I think they get him about 20 minutes before the tip-off. But last night, hey, you mentioned it in your news report. The women's team opened the season on a big note.
They won big.
Won big, and the crowd was big.
How about that? Almost 3,500 folks.
It's going to probably be that way for a while because there's a lot of interest
now. I hope so. They deserve it.
Yeah. No, it's a long time in coming. Like I said previously, over the summer and when they were going through that run in March, who would have ever thought that that was going to happen here, that it became a sold-out crowd, and it was, what, 3,500 to 5,000, 7,000, 10,000, 14,000? Unbelievable. And looks like Adia Barnes is going to continue that success. You know, of course, not to the 10,000s or whatever, but maybe in big games they get some bigger crowds. More power to her. Nice.
Yep, you bet.
Big raise for her this summer. I think it was to 400 and some thousand. I did a big story on her over the summer for a magazine. And a good girl, good lady. I say girl because I covered her when she was at U of A 20-some years ago. And I was, you know, I was whatever I was. And she was like in the teens, 20s. Heck of a player, too. Heck of a player. One of the all-time best, if not the best. So we'll talk about that. Football, I'm kind of tired of football, aren't you? Even though, because there's no game this weekend. They won't lose. That's good.
Well, what can you say?
That they won't lose.
But you know what? Having a bye week will help.
Will it?
The new defensive coordinator.
Oh.
If he wants to institute any changes in the defensive schemes that he may hope to install.
Very true. Very true. So, I don't know if you can change.
But I don't, yeah, right. You're not going to be able to do a lot of changes.
No. The toughest part of their schedule comes up here. You know? Oregon.
Well,
Utah.
I know Arizona State's. What's the last game?
Yes. It's always.
And when do they play Oregon?
Next week.
Or the week. Yeah, the week after the. Dubai. After this weekend.
Yeah. Next week.
Right.
And then they play Utah after that.
So figure Utah's probably going to be their toughest challenge.
No, I think that ASU is going to be there. Oh, wait, say it again.
Their toughest challenge.
No, Oregon.
Oh, you think Oregon?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Do they? Can you put 100 points on the board? Will it show?
I don't know. Is the Oregon quarterback that good?
They're very good. I'm not sure they'll put 100 points, but they're going to put a lot.
Well, I know they've got a good one. Is he still up for the Heisman? Is he still in contention for that?
I think so. His odds are probably pretty big, but yeah, he's pretty good. We'll see what happens. They can probably, you know, I kind of feel sorry for you, for Arizona. I was on Chris DeSimone's show yesterday morning and had a fun time. We're talking about a lot of this stuff. Things don't look good. But we'll see. Hey, better times ahead. We'll see what the future holds.
Did he see any silver linings in the dark Arizona football cloud?
Ooh, Chris?
Chris, yeah.
Chris doesn't see silver. He's never seen silver. It's mud. Your name is mud.
He was pretty much down on. Yeah, okay. Okay. I got you.
So we'll talk about basketball. If you guys want to call in, please do. You might be headed to the game, and you're probably listening to the pregame show or whatever. You can listen to me.
790-204 if you want to get on the conversation.
Right, 790. There's the Roadrunners stuff this weekend. I think we're going to be on a show tomorrow with them, and they can give some more tickets away Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, they're doing well.
Tell me, because you keep up it more with me, because we argued last week and you were right.
Well, they're right. Wrong. They're pretty much neck and neck with Stockton, California, as far as the standings in their division of the AHL. And
they've only lost two or three.
They've only lost a couple. I think you're right. It's no more than three.
Yeah, because they lost, and then remember, I thought they hadn't lost, and you said Chicago beat them twice.
Right.
So that's three times.
Yeah, and they've won like about eight. And Stockton is right there with them. I think Stockton has won like seven and maybe lost only one.
Right.
Well, so they probably have number one, and then Tucson is number two in the standings.
Right. We'll talk about more of that tomorrow.
In fact, what's interesting about this...
I guess we won't.
Well, we're talking about how they are in the standings. Guess who they're playing Friday?
Stockton.
And this weekend, that's right.
Okay. That was an easy guess. You kind of hinted.
Yes, I guess I did.
I'm good with that.
Well, I didn't want to catch you off guard. So.
Well, pretty much every day when you're with me. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. The reunion game tonight with Jack Murphy in Northern Arizona. He left them to come here after coaching there for a number of years. He left Josh Pastner's sideline there and then went to NAU, coached them there and didn't do a great job, but now he's the head assistant here for Sean Miller. Murphy's one of those great guys. We'll see how he helps this season under Sean. But he left NAU making, I don't know what it was, X amount of money. He's making maybe double that here.
Did he have Tucson ties in the past before?
He was under Lute for a long time.
I heard you mention Pastrnak.
Pastner.
Oh, Pastner. I'm sorry.
Pastner.
Yeah, you've seen one Pastner, you see them all. But anyway, so he was with Pastner when he was one of the assistant coaches?
When he was at Memphis.
Oh, he was with him at Memphis. Okay.
Yeah.
And now Pastner is where? Georgia Tech?
Georgia Tech, yeah, in suspension after being suspended by the NCAA.
The team?
Yes, and him. Yeah.
Do we know anything about what the suspension is all about? Is it directly related to him or is it some other deal?
Not tied to it, but boosters and
But he, since he's the coach, he Guess has what? To accept certain responsibility.
Yeah. Does that apply here?
Well, I think it does.
And now the clock is on. We're just waiting for it. In fact, last night I saw somebody out and he asked me, when is this going to happen with the NCAA? It's been a travesty to wait to this... to this long of a time. And I'm thinking, you got to be patient. It happens when it happens.
We were, didn't you think that something was going to happen last March?
No. In fact, I think the people thought it was going to happen over the summer. Because remember you saw that report, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know those media types, they don't know what they're doing.
Well, I don't know. Some other teams, like what was it, Kansas got hit.
Right. Well, they didn't get hit. They just got nothing serious that it was coming.
Yeah.
Nothing suspension. Let's go can you take a break before you answer the phone? Or,
yeah, I think.
Or do you want to answer the phone and put them on hold and then we'll come back?
Yeah, let me get Matt on hold and we'll do the break.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Matt Murphy was talking about his job, that he could have probably lost his job at the end of this year. But we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break once Tom stops ordering lunch or dinner from the pizza place. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And now on the phone I have Matt Moreno of Go AZ Cats. Matt, how are you?
Doing good, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
You just keep paying me the checks. You're good. Hey, what's the crowd like? I know it's way early in Tucson at 6:30.
It feels a little bit lighter than last time, but as, you know, the case was last time, everyone kind of showed up a little bit later than usual, so I think it'll probably fill out more as it gets closer to game time or even after the game starts, but a little bit light, I think, tonight for this opener.
Yeah, no, I think so, too, because, you know, you've been here long enough. Tucson is one late-arriving crowd, and now over the last couple years that they have to be shown that the schedule's going to be a little bit better. Last year we saw it, right? You kind of took a hit in terms of crowd size.
Yeah, and I think the interest level is just, if it's not, you know, something that's feels meaningful, they're not going to necessarily want to come out and spend their money to come watch this team. But yeah, prove it to them, and I think they'll show up for sure.
Right, right. And I think eventually that could happen Sunday when they play Illinois, just out of curiosity, maybe a better team, yada, yada. So we'll see. When are they going to announce the starting lineup? About 20 minutes?
Should be coming out here soon. Yeah, I think it's usually about 15 minutes before the game or so.
So any surprises that you would see if there was one?
I don't think so. I think the change would be Zeke Nagy if he's able to go. And Sean Miller, when he talked earlier in the week, he said if he's healthy, he's a starter. We consider him one of the team starters. And, you know, if he's not out there, it'll be Ira Lee. But, I mean, that would be maybe the only real surprise. And that's not really even that big of a surprise. So I think everything will go as expected. Probably if it ends up not being Zeke Nagy, I think it looks very similar to what Arizona had against Chico State.
I saw portions of the press conference on Tuesday or whatever day it was, Monday. And kind of the questions were the same as he had on Saturday. Weren't they almost repetitive?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's not a lot different. What are you going to really learn from, you know, a couple days? And, you know, I think, like the fans need to see more of this team, we kind of in the media need to see more of this team to really figure out, you know, what to expect and what changes and, you know, what is different about this team than what we've seen, you know, the previous couple of days.
Yeah, no question. He did open, I think, the statement right away with Devonair Dutrieve. He didn't want to kind of get into that, obviously, so he broke his own news that nothing's changed. I think that could probably last for a little longer, don't you think? It sounds like it could.
Yeah, I mean, I think at least probably this week. I think it'll probably be reevaluated after this week and go from there. I don't know that it's going to be in situations that have felt similar to this, like we mentioned last week. It hasn't really been prolonged. It hasn't been one of those things that lingers, but we'll see what happens. But I think definitely tonight and then, you know, probably on Sunday, but we'll see what happens, you know, next week and if he's able to come back and be on the floor.
Right, right, right. So I'm wondering, is he practicing? Did he say if he's practicing?
Yeah, he's practicing. He's essentially doing everything that, the other players are doing except playing in the games. And so that's kind of the only restriction on him right now is that he's just not getting the suit up and, you know, get on the floor with the rest of the team. But everything else, he's moving forward as planned. He's practicing with the team. There's no limitations there. And business as usual on that side of it. He's just not getting to play.
That raises a question in my mind. Can I ask?
Go ahead.
Can you, either one of you, recall a time when a player was on suspension who did not participate in practice?
Oh, yeah. Do not remember? Let's see here. Matt, your memory is probably better than mine, but it happens. It happens whether it's academics or...
So would that indicate the severity of the suspension,
yeah,
perhaps?
Yeah, Elliot Pitts. I can't remember if Elliot Pitts practiced or not. You remember anybody recently?
I'm trying to remember.
Trier. Did Trier practice when he was suspended?
I think he did.
So.
Yeah,
I believe so.
I don't know.
I think the severity of it, you could tell in how Sean Miller approaches it. And if he doesn't want to talk about it, he doesn't
right.
want to discuss it.
Right.
You'll kind of get a heads up that, hey, this is something more serious. I think the fact that he's been forthright, that he was forthright on Monday, opened his press conference saying, hey, this is the issue. I'm going to tell you guys when, you know, his status changes. And he's talking positively about Devonair Dutrieve. And this week he talked about it being a mistake and, you know, good people can make bad mistakes. And he kind of likened it to that type of situation, which tells me it's not as serious as it could be in other situations.
Do you know the one thing that I thought was very good? Cool is not the right word, but very good. Sean, and I've said this a couple times already, but it's very noticeable to me at least, that Sean's become more relaxed, more, and you said, what's the word you just used, forthright? He's always like that when he can be, but he's more casual, don't you think? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think the shoulders have kind of loosened a little bit. The jaw may be a little bit less clenched, a little bit kind of more relaxed, I think, just overall in his you know.
What do you attribute it to?
Mannerisms and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons why. Maybe Matt will expound on it. I think that he's got to be more embracing to the local media. Think that maybe someone's got to him, maybe not, but just that he's never been warm and fuzzy, but he's more warm and fuzzy if you can kind of relax a little. I'm sure there's other reasons, but I think that maybe just someone just said, you know, you can kind of loosen up with the locals, because he hasn't been close to locals since he's been here. It's always been the national. He has his favorites. But that's a good thing. I mean, we're not out to get him, or the media's not out to get him. It's just the circumstances of the events, I think. Matt?
And even if you're looking at it from his perspective, any coach's perspective, it's not a bad thing to have the media on your side.
Right.
Especially when things go bad, you're going to have people in the media when it does become more personal, or, you know, when people, whether you'd rather have them supporting you and, you know, singing your praises as opposed to out to try and get your out with an axe to grind with you because they felt like they've been treated badly or anything like that. So
correct.
You want to have the media types, whether it's right or wrong, you want to have the media types on your side, I think, in any situation.
Could it be that part of it would be that the NCAA stuff is not so much front and center anymore right now?
No, I don't think that's the reason. I just think that
not part of it.
No, not really, because when it was never there, he wasn't like this.
Could it be part of it that he's more comfortable with the way this team is getting coming together and developing?
No. I don't. You know, I'm not a psychologist. I just play one on the radio, but I don't think so. Wouldn't you agree? I'm right, Senor Matt.
I think part of it is the team. I think it's more enjoyable for him to coach this team. Outside of the Devon Air Detroit situation, it's not a team that's going to be, you know, a headache. And I think he's had teams in the past that have been headaches, and he's had to deal with a lot more than just the actual coaching that, you know, comes along with just being part of the team and having the players he has. And I think there's so much less of that this season that will naturally play into just being more relaxed and being more, having more fun and having his job be more enjoyable.
Well, I think he had that last year too. They just weren't any good.
Yeah, but we know how that is. And with especially someone like Sean Miller, who's as competitive as he is in everything, I think not being able to win plays into that, and kind of, even if you enjoy having the guys around, if you're not winning games, I think that it's going to impact you.
And the whole team is kind of settled. He's got his full coaching staff now.
Yeah.
I mean, in the past, it seems like he's always had a hole or two in his coaching staff.
Yeah. Either way, or any way you want to, we can evaluate in any way we want. I still think it's what I'm thinking. But you guys could be right. You guys could be right. I don't disagree with any of what you guys are saying. We'll see. I think once we get deep into the season, we'll know more. Because we'll see.
Yeah, with anything, Steve, they haven't lost any games yet.
Right. No question. I don't think they're going to lose for a while. We'll see what happens. The one thing I wish, and I wrote this a little in my column over the weekend, that if I wish he'd let them run a little bit more. Well, no, that's a lie. A lot more.
One more time, Steve?
Do we know anything about Illinois?
That they're the next game. That's about it. Never jump ahead there, Tom. Never look ahead. That's a dangerous thing.
Well, I'm interested in what kind of a team that they've got, but if you don't know, you don't know.
We'll talk about it Friday. I take one game at a time, one show at a time. We live in the moment.
All the cliches.
Yes. So the crowd getting better? I know you got to go here in a little bit, but, you know, you're kind of working today.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they
say. Call it working.
Save my seat on the other side of you, and we'll keep in touch. See you there tonight.
Yeah, I'll have your nachos waiting for you, Steve.
Yeah, it is nacho day. So I expect it. Thank you very much. Go ahead and put a receipt on that. Expense it.
Will do.
Thank you, Matt. Take care.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Well, you know, we'll see what happens. Tonight they should win by a lot or whatever. If they play not as well as they did against they didn't play well against Chico State. At least I didn't think so. So
well, NAU has not always been a pushover, you know. You can't take them lightly.
The last few years, you know how much they beat them by on average? 42 points.
All right.
I mean, I'm not joking. That's serious. That's a big number.
I'm not doubting you.
Guess who their coach was? Their assistant now.
Murphy?
Yes.
Well.
But it is what it is. I mean, they should beat them not by 42, but they should beat them by about 25. So we'll see.
NAU is going to be an even greater disadvantage because Murphy's coaching staff?
No. You would not know. I know that's a question.
I'm asking you.
And my answer is no.
All right. No. Thank you.
Okay, let's take a quick break because we got to take a hard break here at 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Good to have Tino's Pizza back as a sponsor. I'm going to probably give some stuff out later.
Are you hungry?
Yes, that's why I'm going to have nachos later. The diet of the basketball season, nachos with jalapenos. Because I'm so busy, that's what I stop to get to eat. Being a sports writer is not that glamorous, you know. It's just kind of go and get nachos and hot dog, and then you're done for the day.
Yeah, but you get in all of the games free,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're the bunch of most out-of-shape dudes ever. And, you know, not the best-looking dudes either. Just saying. It is what it is.
Don't be so down on yourself.
I'm self-effacing. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Hey, no football this weekend. I'm okay with that. Football, basketball on Sunday. Tonight's this. I'm not too sure when the girls come back. The women's team comes back? Did you know? Soccer's almost finishing, the women's soccer team. They're doing very well. I think they play ASU here soon.
I think you're right.
Volleyball
is sort of, they've been kind of up and down, and I guess they've had a little bit of a downer lately, huh?
Yeah. I'm not too sure. You probably follow it more than I do.
Well, I think I saw something on your website, but read it all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So what else is going on? Clippers are still bad, and the Suns are bad. The world is topsy-turvy these days. The Clippers are horrible. The Suns are pretty good.
How can the Clippers be horrible? They were supposed to challenge the Lakers for L.A. dominance this season. What is going on?
Did I say Clippers or did I say Warriors?
I think you said Clippers.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to say Clippers. I meant to say Warriors.
Oh, okay.
But the Clippers, I think they lost to the Suns, so I'm not too sure. They'll be fine.
But weren't people thinking that they might give the Lakers a run for the L.A. crown or L.A. champion? You know, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever you just said, yes.
Champions of the Los Angeles basketball season.
Yes, whatever you just said.
Or seen.
Yes, again, to the third time, yes, whatever you just said.
So what the heck is going on with the Warriors?
They're just bad.
The only team that I've heard you...
Care about. Yeah, no, they're bad. Well, the thing is, I liked them when they were really, really good, so that means I have to like them when they're really, really bad.
So you're a fair weather fan.
No. I'm not. I'm saying I've got to like them out all the time. I mean, that'd be a fair weather fan by jumping off ship.
Well, Steph's still not playing. Klay won't play. Klay Thompson won't play maybe the whole season. He may be back in time for the playoffs, but he won't be game ready.
Maybe the playoffs. You're talking playoffs?
Oh, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Talking about making the playoffs. You know where that line's from.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, Warriors. I'm sorry.
You're talking about Jim Mora. I think it's Jim Mora talking about playoffs. You're not going to make the playoffs.
You don't think the Warriors are going to make the playoffs?
Oh,
seriously?
They're not going to make 30 wins, 25 wins. They're bad. They're horrible.
What's their starting lineup like these days? Oh, can you name them?
Matty, Moe, and Jack. I don't know. No.
See, that's pretty much the kid tells the tale right there, doesn't it?
The kid from Ohio State from back in the day. Man, I don't have any idea who's. I'm going to cheat and say, Glenn Robinson III. Okay, Kevin Bauman, I think. They have nobody on that roster.
Names we're not familiar with.
Mark, Chris, holy moly, they got nobody. Russell, God, they have nobody.
All right, so
but you know what? You know what? Do you believe in karma's not the right word? Do you believe in with cycles? I'm sure you do. But you know, when things go really, really well for a long time, and then you just poop all over. And
so you think that things have gone really, really well for the Warriors enough? It's their downturn. No, their turn to be in the downturn.
It's called evening it up, baby. Evening it up. You know when you're young and you think, oh, I got the world figured out, yada yada, and things are going so well, and then you get old and then it just kind of says, You don't got nothing because the world still has you. And that's kind of how it is. Just the way it is. Oh, we got a caller. Thank you, caller, whoever you are. We got a caller? Thank you. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good, stranger. How you doing?
I was just going to say that. I hadn't heard from you in a while. I thought, you know, maybe I had to get a search party for you.
Well, yeah, I've been trying to find myself lately.
Well,
but other than that, I'm doing well.
Did you get the reward money?
Not this week. Maybe next week.
How you doing? What's going on? Are you going to the game?
No, buddy, I'm just trying to get home with all this traffic. I tell you what, I missed baseball season, number one.
Already?
At least the sun was out a lot longer than it is now. Unbelievable. But I just happened to catch your Warriors concept. Buddy, they needed a down year to back up and regroup. And I was really sad they got rid of Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, is he? Have you paid attention? I'm not even sure if he's playing much at Memphis.
You know what? I've been on the road and then, you know, working, and I just haven't had a whole lot of time to pay attention to sports lately. But,
right. Hey, I know you've been around town for a long, long time. I don't want to say you're 100 years old, but you've been around. What do you make of this team, a football team? And two, what do you think about the city and how it's kind of backed it for whatever, good or bad?
Well, first of all, Tucson has really, if you look back at its history, unless they're really winning in the days of, you know, Larry Smith and Dick Tomey, and maybe even back with Jim Young back in the 70s, a little bit, maybe a little bit with Tony Mason. This has never really been a big football town. It's a very transient audience, number one. Number two, basketball. And at one point, baseball used to be huge in Tucson,
right,
with
mm-hmm.
the university. And actually, they do pretty well at High Corbett Field. That was a great move for them. But, and as far as, you know, Arizona football right now, Kevin Sumlin, you know, the cabinet was pretty empty when he showed up here, number one. And number two is you can't expect a coach to come in here, and I don't care who he is, to come in here and turn around a program that was in a tailspin for a while. It just takes time. He's got to recruit his own people. I think this Brunell guy, that kid's a quarterback. He's the real deal. He sort of reminds me a little bit of Falk.
Okay.
Dick Foles, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got that tall, long. He knows how to throw a deep ball and catch your receivers before the break. Timing is pretty good. He's still young. He's, what, 18, 19 years old?
Yes.
So, he came with Sumlin. So now Sumlin's got to figure out how he's going to get an offensive line to protect the guys and then really work on the defense. But, again, Tucson has never been the biggest, unless they're winning. This is a very fair-weather town when it comes to football. And it's just a sad reality of sports.
So I don't like to be like other people on this show. They start kind of reading between the lines of what you're saying. But are you being a Sumlin apologist?
No, but okay. I don't have to apologize. He's a big man. He's a grown man. He doesn't need me to apologize.
Okay.
But on the flip side is, you know, when you first came in there, first of all, he had some of his staff was leftovers, Marcel Yates, and then you go right back to the recruiting. Arizona has never been one of the schools that recruits like the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10.
It hasn't even recruited like the Pac-12.
Well, you've got Oregon and you got USC, the perennials. You got a great coach up there at ASU. I love that guy. Arizona is sort of the where everybody just sort of shows up that not everybody else wanted. And it takes a coach like Dick Tomey,
right,
who can really massage these young talents and turn them into hungry football players. And Larry Smith did that with his guys.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you.
Yeah, so it takes, and I would give Sumlin a good next year. I think this year for recruiting, he's got to prove that he can recruit number one.
Let me check. Then, okay, go ahead.
No, and so if he can recruit number one, and he can turn the program down to be a respectable 7-8 win team next year, the fans will come back.
Wow, that's asking a lot. Let me tell you, I was with somebody that you know. I was with the guys last night, so you know where I was at. Coach asked me what do I thought about the players going to be able to get paid down the road, likeness and stuff like that.
I don't like it.
And what do you think he said?
I don't think he liked it either.
He hated it. One, in part because for the same reason I don't like it, is quarterbacks will make a lot more money than the centers or the guards, because guess what? You know the quarterbacks. You don't know the guys opening holes for him.
Well, and I think the other part of this whole thing, it does nothing to try to equal out, you know, you've got Title IX, you've got that issue you have
yes,
to deal with.
Yes, yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The other part of this thing is, you know, these scholarship players, they can work during the off season. They are legally allowed to work and earn some extra money for themselves. That's part of the agreements. Number one. Number two is what you're asking individual taxpayers to do is help subsidize scholarships. And then have these people turn around and receive the rewards. I understand where they want to, you know, I think the NCAA has to do a much better job of figuring out a way to make this a responsible effort. But I think Corey Williams, I heard him on
yes.
Facebook or something.
Yeah.
And what a great breakdown of why it's a bad idea to have it just people can sell the likeness of their name. And I understand they want to make a living, but my goodness, the guys that are and gals that are going to go on to professional sports afterwards, look at the education and what it costs to educate these kids. And if they don't want to go to class and take advantage of the scholarship and they just want to come to school to play sports, I'm sorry, I think we sort of lost the meaning behind amateur athletics. And if we want to make these people, the NBA has to quit using the NCAA as their own, like, G League, for lack of a better word, or the NFL wants to use the college sports as their own amateur league to draft from, there's got to be some kind of balance there someplace. But the value of an education cannot be understated. And if any one of these kids wanted to make a living outside of athletics, which 95% of them are going to have to, that education is going to be invaluable.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Hey, Rick, thanks for dialing in. You probably thought, oh, Steve needs some help. Thanks for calling in.
See you, brother.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. Yeah. Hey, let's take a quick break before we end this show, but I got the starting lineup from the U of A, so we can talk about that here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. In with me is my guy, Tom. Tom, you've done a great job today. You didn't fall asleep.
Well, we were talking a little while, you and Rick were talking about this idea of that California has instituted in amateur athletics, mm-hmm. college athletics, too. Well, let's see. We got a caller calling in. Oh, let's get him on.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, we'll talk more about that once we get the call. I hope we get a good call. We're, about 9 minutes away? You got to run to the football game. And basketball game.
Who's it? Okay, so let's get Scott on with you.
Scott, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
Fine, thanks. What do you got to say?
I'm just really excited about this season. Hopefully we can have a successful year and put the past in the past and just look forward, and I'm super excited.
Look at you. Did you? What, you're Mr. Happy Scott today. I like it.
Yeah, well, I'm super excited. I think we got a great mix. I think it's the right mix to get a deep run. It's just going to be for a vacated title, unfortunately, but it's still going to be exciting during the run. And you can't take that celebration away from them when they take the title away years later, you know.
That ain't happening. That's not going to happen. First, you got to win the title, but you're funny.
Are you saying we're not going to win the title or we're not going to have a vacated title?
Both. I'm saying both. One leads to the other.
Debbie Downer.
You can't get dumped if you don't date anybody.
That was a good one.
So what else? What do you like about this team?
Nico Mannion, again, he's looks like a stud from Phoenix. He's kind of replicating that 97 team with Mike Bibby. So him with Josh Green and having Derek Jeter, I mean, not Derek Jeter, Chase Jeter, back for his senior year. I think with his experience and the remaining cast that's still there, I think we have a chance to at least go for the Pac-12 title, if not a deep run.
Yeah, no, I think so. What did you think then that they were picked fourth in the league?
I think that's about right.
Really? They're going to win a title and being picked fourth in the league?
Yeah, because well, every time they do get picked to win, they don't, you know, when they're like the greatest talented ever, and they lose the first three games of the season and then lose by 20 points to Buffalo in the first round of the tournament. So usually when UVA does better, like they, in 97, it was the year they weren't really expected to do much, and that's when they did. So I think it's going to happen this year because of that.
Okay, I guess reverse psychology continues to show itself in Tucson. I get it. So so what do you? What's the most impressive thing you like about this team?
The most impressive thing, I think, is just the young talent. Again, I think Nico Mannion, Josh Green, having the transfers coming in. I just think it's a great mix of fresh people, young to the experience that we have from years past. I think it's just a good, not too many young players, and I think we have enough talent to get there. It's just if the coaching's going to be there. You know, that's always been an obstacle for Tucson the last 10 years is we've had the talent every year. It's just sometimes the coaching's a little bit lacking, but you never know. There's always the breakout year, and just for like the coach over at Villanova, he had a bad run where he lost the year before in the first round, and or maybe that was Virginia, and then they came back and won the championship. But Villanova, Jay Wright didn't have success for a long time, and then he broke through. So maybe this is Miller's time. It's just going to be an asterisk year, if anything.
Right. You know, I don't. Well, I know that's kind of Scott. You've been at least consistent with Sean's comments, but I think the one thing I don't see this as a positive is I wish he would let them run more, and we've talked about this 1,000 times.
You guys have got an interesting question popping around in my brain. Can I bring it out?
Yes.
Do you, either one of you could answer this, do you think that Sean is more of a good recruiter and practice coach than he is a game coach?
1,000%.
What do you think, Stephen? You'd like for him to open up the team, let him run?
No question.
We still can't do anything when there's a zone defense. Like, how many years does it have to be where we can't defend or go against the zone defense? He doesn't mix the offense with the talent that we have every year. He does the same defense every year. He does the same offense. We get these high flyers, and then they're stuck doing these, like, sets, and it's just frustrating, but maybe this is the year, and I'm super excited, and go Cats, bear down.
Great.
And Scott, I'm sorry I called you Rick. You're Scott.
that is correct.
Scott, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Are you going to the game, or are you just watching from home?
No, I'm parking right now.
Okay, cool. I'll see you there. You can buy me nachos. I'm okay with that.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll see you. Thanks for calling in. Always good to talk to you.
All right, take care.
All right, cool. Yeah, I met Scott about a little more than a year. No, less than a year ago at a thing. A good guy, good young guy. Smart guy, you know, kind of, you know, whatever. But he's a good guy.
In the short time that we have left, talking together. About the, well, this is just today, Steve. Don't worry.
Oh, darn, you're getting my hopes up.
So with these players possibly getting paid for their image and likeness, it seems to me that there's going to have to be some caps on this, isn't it?
No.
Because aren't some of these guys going to be not notoriety, maybe more fame?
That's the problem.
And they're going to be getting more for their likenesses than other players.
That's the problem. That's
they're
my
going to
problem.
Be driving up in these big Humvees with great big wheels on them and gold chains around their neck. How do you think that's all going to play out over time?
That's my point there. Let's assume for a second that this was the case in this show right here. Who would make more money, you or I? Because isn't this my show but you produce it? Shouldn't you make kind of equal money because you make me look good?
No, I'm just hired help here. It's your, you like you say, it's your show, and you're the star of the show.
Well, thank you, but I don't necessarily agree with all that, because to me, is if you're the quarterback, you're going to make more money than the offensive lineman. You won't make as much, or you if you you are, but it, the running backs, the wide receivers, those figures that are handling a lot of the situations. But if you, I'm an offensive lineman or defensive lineman or something like that who doesn't get a lot of notoriety or visibility, I'm going to be upset because they need me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott, are you still with us?
I am with you guys.
Oh, well, did you want to, did you have anything further? Or
No, I just want to say I'm super excited about the women's season upcoming. Yeah. I think they have a chance to make a Final Four run.
Holy moly.
Without an asterisk this year. And that's going to be super exciting for Tucson.
Holy moly. They're going
to... And I do have season tickets for the women, and I'm super excited about it.
Holy man, you got Final Four for the women's team too? What are you, Scott?
You heard it here first.
What happy hour do you go to before these games?
I don't do happy hour, unfortunately.
Well, that's good that you don't.
Hey, enjoy the game, Scott, and don't get too hoarse.
I definitely will. Bear down. You guys take care, and until next time.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott. What a optimistic guy. Final Four for both teams. The world is going to be, you know what?
It's like, well, all right, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who do you think has a better chance of getting to the Final Four, the women's team or the men's team?
Men's team. Men's team.
All right.
That was easy.
You heard it here.
That was easy.
We got him on tape.
I'm okay with that. Hey, let's see. We got to go. I got to rush to the game here on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.